All right, well, good morning, everybody, and welcome here at this early hour, and I thank you very much for coming. I'm delighted today to announce the new Commissioner of Police, new Deputy Police and Deputy Commissioner, and the reappointment of Deputy Commissioner Lyn Provo. Today, the Prime Minister and I are announcing the appointment of Howard Broad as the new Commissioner of Police. This is a very important role, a very difficult role, a very challenging role, and we are really delighted to be able to appoint Howard Broad. Howard has had 30 years of policing experience, from frontline policing through to district commander of the Auckland District, through to policy and strategy work at the Office of the Commissioner, and work in the Home Office in the UK overseas. So he brings with him a broad range of experience. That's not a pun, but he does bring a broad range of experience. He is going to be assisted by the new Deputy Commissioner, Rob Pope. Rob's also had 30 years of policing experience. In fact, Howard and Rob were in the same wing and trained at the same time. So they probably know a lot about each other. Rob has been a frontline policeman for many years. He has been in the CIB. He has brings a lot of experience in terms of what happens on the street. And he has also been our district commander here in Wellington since 2004. The Deputy Commissioner Pope's role is in operations, and we also announced the appointment, reappointment of Lyn Provo. Now, Lyn was our first appointment as a non-commissioned officer 5 years ago, and she has impressed in the work that she has done. She's responsible for resource management. She has brought a lot of effort and energy into her portfolio, particularly around the management of resources in police. The three of them are appointed for five-year terms. So it's been a long process. There were many applicants. The process was undertaken by the State Services Commissioner. And at the end of the day, these three have been appointed, and the Governor-General approved the appointments yesterday. So I congratulate them. I look forward to working with the three of them. I know that they will be a strong team. I know what the focus of policing will be going forward, and I know that Howard has the ability to lead that team extremely well into the future. So my congratulations, and I think what I'll do now is perhaps hand over to you, Howard, to say a few words and then open it up for questions from the media. Howard.
Well, thank you very much, Minister. I'm greatly honoured by this appointment, and I'm committing to this leadership role in the police for that for the next 5 years. I think this is a really exciting time. There's a great deal of opportunity with the police over the next 5 years. There's the announcement of a new Police Act, which will allow us the opportunity to shape police going into the 21st century. I think that the announcements around the investment of additional police provides us with the opportunity to place those staff in positions where we'll get the greatest return. I also think that the signals that we have from the government around community policing are important ones, because it's the connection with people in our communities that I think will be an important basis of policing for this century. I also think that there are some things that we have to, from our past, that we need to own and then move on. And that's an important part, I think, of my commissionership. So I look forward to this term of office. It's, as I said, exciting. I'm greatly privileged to have people of the calibre of Rob and Lyn to assist me, and I also am absolutely supportive of the 10,000 men and women of the New Zealand Police who are great people, and it will be a privilege to lead them in this term.
Okay, now, Rob, would you, as a new deputy, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, I just, Minister, firstly, I'm greatly honoured too to be given this role, and I'm looking forward to certainly supporting Howard and Lynn, particularly around, as Howard's commented on, providing that very strong support to police staff and providing a very good quality police service to the public.
Right, and Lynn, the old head.
Yes, I'd like to congratulate my two colleagues on their appointment. It's wonderful to have them in place. And to the 10,000 people of New Zealand Police, we look forward as a group of commissioners to leading you into the future.
Right. Mr. Broad, maybe we can ask you that you said that there are things in the past that you have to accept and then move on. Obviously, you're referring to the harrowing experience the police have had in recent months. Morale, what can you do about morale in the police?
Well, I think leadership's the key issue here. That's my role to be with police as they go about their daily working lives, to support them and to provide them with the direction that they need. It's a large organisation. We have an extremely broad range of functions. The commissioner needs to be seen, needs to demonstrate that leadership and take the organisation forward.
You mentioned an emphasis on community and policing, and yet in the news, for example, the last 24 hours, this issue with Glenins Police Station, a man apparently lying unconscious in a reserve nearby for a number of hours, and of course Auckland being such a big population base. What sort of messages or assurances that can you give to the general public that they won't face similar sort of issues in the future?
Well, I think the issue is in Auckland is a particular pressure point for police, and it's an area which I have considerable experience, and it's my commitment to actually work personally with our commanders in Auckland to improve the service and to give the confidence to the public that we are attentive to their needs, and that does mean lifting our service in Auckland.
Does that mean little stations like Gleninnis will be open, or will they have, you know, situations where they're shut in the evenings?
Well, they are. Many of the stations in Auckland are closed outside of business hours, and yet they are still open for business because police officers are working from them. They just the front door's not open. We'll look at that. We'll look at the hours at which police stations are open. But I just point out that finding someone in a park won't happen because we've got a police station open half a kilometre down the road. So there are issues around service and what that means, and those are important ones, and ones I think that will be defining of my commissionership.
Do you need more money?
I think that the we've got an issue about growth at the moment. We're going to grow this organisation by something like 12.5% over the next 3 years. That's going to be challenging in its own right. So I'm at the moment quite comfortable with the commitments government has made to the police. This is an enduring issue, and one that you know, we can sit here and say, right, 3 years we have got 1,000 extra sworn police officers that have been promised by government. I imagine this will be a continuing conversation with the minister.
Where do you think yourself that you're going to find these, or the government's going to find these extra 1,000 police?
I imagine a lot of these people have got jobs now. And I think that one of the things that we have to do is signal to good men and women in New Zealand that the police is an attractive career. I think it's the most marvellous career. You'd expect that coming from someone so recently appointed to this role. But, but I look back on the career track that I've had and the investment that the police have made in me as an individual and as a police officer, and I think this is the most wonderful police career. It's a career of service. I don't think there'll be few other jobs, I think, that would give as great a satisfaction. Now, this is a message I'd like to give to all New Zealanders, and I'd like to actually for our people to go out there and tap people on the shoulder, those who are in jobs now, and say, have you considered the police a career? It's such a wonderful job to do.
It may not have been seen as so attractive in recent weeks, so given the court case.
I think the people are understanding of our situation. There are issues that we've had to deal with. We're an organisation of 10,000 people doing a very difficult job. I wouldn't let those incidents mask the fact that we've got 10,000 men and women doing a magnificent job, and I'm sure there are people in and amongst the community doing valuable jobs now who would want to come and join our ranks and be part of this policing for the 21st century.
It's not only those court case incidents, though, is it, as well? You had well-publicised struggles with the 111 system. How do you believe public confidence is in the police's ability to meet their needs?
Well, I think that's part of the investment that the government has made into the police, a specific investment into our communication centres. Those telephone calls will increasingly be answered. There's also an issue about, OK, we've answered the telephone call, what are we going to do with it? And that I place into that area of improving our service, our districts, how we deal with each case as it is reported to us. Those are things that we're going to grapple with, and it's my commitment to improve the level of service over the next few years.
How would you describe yourself? You're not particularly a high-profile policeman, are you?
No, I don't willingly jump into the limelight. Although 5 years as the district commander in Auckland, it may not be a role that is seen so publicly here in Wellington, but it was a public role in Auckland. There was, during my term in office up there, a great deal of pressure, and we dealt with those issues with the support of staff, and I owe the police officers in Auckland a great debt, because they, during a very difficult time, held together and did the job of policing. So while I have spent the latter part of my career committed to trying to change the environment in which police officers do their job, my role over the course of 30 years has been a very thoroughly police officer role.
In your 30 years, do you think that you've seen the police in such dire circumstances in terms of bad publicity?
No, I don't think that the publicity has been at this level, but I see the time that I've had in the police as being one of improvement. It's quite difficult an experience to sit and read the paper and watch the news on television and see the police portrayed as it is. I think the transparency over the police, the degree of scrutiny, has substantially increased in the last few years. And the question for the police is, are we able to step up to the mark and answer that scrutiny? But in terms of morale, I am around police stations and police officers up and down the country regularly. It is quite a different picture inside the police. We acknowledge that there are issues to be dealt with, but the men and women of the New Zealand police have their heads up, and they're going about doing the work of the police with a great deal of confidence, and I want to improve that.
Do you not worry? You often hear stories, particularly in places like Auckland, as part of the kind of whole recruitment issue, facing times of fairly inexperienced police officers being put into patrol cars and working under pressure. Is there a problem at that sort of entry level start of the police career?
It's not a new problem, but there is an issue that we have to deal with, and it is an issue that is particularly acute in Auckland. And I think the experience levels in supervision is something that we are going to have to grapple with, because I think it is an issue. It's not a new issue. I think if we went back and spoke to police officers from, I have connection with police officers going back nearly as far as the Second World War, and they have all stories about times in the police when there have been a lot of new staff recruited at one time, and there are therefore a lot of very new staff filling out our incident patrols and making their way into our investigative units. So it's not a new problem, but we do have an issue that we need to grapple with.
Can I just quickly ask you, also out of curiosity, to look at your CV, you spent a year on secondment at the Police Standards Unit.
Police Standards Unit in the Home Office.
Were there lessons to be learned?
Yes. I think there's the United Kingdom have, in the last few years, realised, I think, that the role of the police is not an isolated one, as it may have been seen in previous years, and that it is a very important role for connected to the security of the country, and that it needs to be integrated with other government agencies. They've spent an awful lot of money and an awful lot of effort trying to improve policing to get those connections. not just for national security, but security on the streets of their neighbourhoods, in terms of significant issues like alcohol, family violence, and so on. So I found it a very uplifting experience to see the connections made at a government level, at a local government level, and on the street. And I bring those lessons back to New Zealand. However, it's not just a case of importing a foreign police style into New Zealand. I think that we've got a very distinctive country and a very distinctive policing style, and I want to build on that.
Oh, sorry, just one thing. Are you saying that the PR at the moment over the court cases is worse than the Springbok tour? Or how would you compare the two?
Well, I think the Springbok tour was a very difficult time. Once again, looking outside in during the Springbok time is probably a different view than looking from the inside out.
And more people dislike the police over the Springbok tour, though.
Well, I'm not sure that that necessarily was the case. I think there was a great deal of debate about the role of the police during the Springbok tour, and the country was certainly divided. Now I think that there is a question about the police that's a very fundamental one, not just whether we're doing the right role or not, but about who we are. And I think that one of the things that I've got to do is absolutely dispel any notion about who we are. And I want the New Zealand police to be beyond question as the police that the public need to have.
So presumably you support a code of conduct of some nature?
Of some nature. I think that there are weaknesses in how we approach issues relating to behaviour that are where we're not as well served as we could be by some of the legislative arrangements we have in place, and that's why I'm regarding as an absolute opportunity the rewrite of the Police Act, because it does give us that opportunity to think about how we actually want to organise ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a delicate issue, but, you know, given the recent trials and so on, is the issue there a culture of behaviour from, like, for example, the 80s, or do you actually think there is an overall code of conduct required?
I think it's this issue about is the arrangements for the police suitable for the 21st century, and I think that those arrangements put in place in the 1950s have come to the end of their useful period. We need to chart a different set of arrangements.
What do you think the impact of the Commission of Inquiry will be coming out next month?
Well, I haven't seen the report, and I don't really want to speculate about what's in it. I'm looking forward to the report as an opportunity to integrate the recommendations from that into the path that the three of us will have the responsibility of leading. But I really don't want to speculate about what a commissioner appointed by the government to have a look at that part of police would say.
Well, thank you, everybody. And
I have a question for the Minister. You said
Many applicants. I can't remember actually, but there were I'd be guessing, but there was a large number of applicants, as you would suspect. But I can't remember whether it was 10 or 12, but there was more than these three.
I hope so.